Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. Have you noticed that the more technology we have, the less productive we seem to be? Innovation gives us tons of new tools to manage our time and efficiency, and now we're available all the time, on demand, 24/7, kind of like a human version of Netflix. Colleagues can reach us anytime, anywhere. And boundaries like, catch me before I leave today, or can this wait until tomorrow, are completely disappearing. This now, always be available, it can be kind of exhausting. And it can often mean that you end up wasting time, being inefficient, and getting just a whole lot less done. But what if you could take back control? What would that look like?
When you want to be more productive and more effective at work, you can't ever frame it as, you people are bothering me, stop.
This is Dori Clark, a business professor and author of the Harvard Business Review article, Stop People from Wasting Your Time. She says that too often we get trapped into responding to what other people need when they need it. And her answer sounds a lot like something my parents used to say to me.
Just because everybody else is doing something in the workforce, we don't necessarily have to do that.
Okay, well, maybe they didn't mention the workforce, but you get the idea. And despite the title of her article, Clark doesn't actually think your colleagues are trying to waste your time.
I think most people are not thinking about the impact of their actions on other people. So they are, in fact, wasting our time, not because they're malicious, not because they're trying to do a power play generally, but simply because they're not that focused on how to make life better for you. They're doing their own thing. And if we want to fix that, we have to try to impose a structure so that they are more respectful of our time.
But you can't really block out the world when you're at work, so how do you limit your time being wasted by other people?
There are some simple things that you can do. One really easy one that I suggest to people is insisting on an agenda for meetings. And obviously, if you're the boss, it's pretty easy to do that. If you're lower down on the totem pole, you have to argue for it a little bit, but it is actually really hard to lose an argument if you're raising your hand and saying, guys, I have an idea for how we can make this whole meeting far more efficient.
But is there ever a danger that by trying to like set an agenda or trying to be really focused that you might miss those kind of conversations where you learn something interesting or you have an idea that's sparked?
The role of serendipity in business is critically important. And it is something that, because of the heavy scheduling of our own lives, has in a lot of ways been engineered out. If you are in 8 back-to-back meetings throughout your workday, there's not a lot of time for serendipity. But that doesn't mean that it should be creeping in the midst of a meeting where you're really trying to accomplish something else. That is a distraction. What I suggest instead is that people should try to limit their structured, scheduled things on their calendar, like meetings, and then leave larger blocks of time for those types of discoveries and fortuitous conversations.
But you do live in a particular world wherever you work, and there are people who are going to come in and out of it or send you emails, and a lot of it can be distracting, and a lot of it can be a waste of your time. So how do you manage that?
One common strategy is to limit the number of times that you check email during the day. I mean, it's very easy. Literally, every time you're checking your email, you get these micro-dopamine hits. And so it actually does become addictive behavior to a certain extent. But if you can limit that and say, I'm going to check email twice a day or 3 times a day, and then go in bursts when you're responding to it, it enables you to focus far more productively. Because for a lot of us, you know, the reason that that memo doesn't get finished or that you don't work on the long-term important project is that you're so constantly responding to stimuli, you can't think for the hour or two that you need to get it done.
I just think it's really hard to sort of come up with, this is the way that I'm going to interact with people, especially if you work in an environment that works in a different way. I think of a newsroom and people are emailing all the time about news developments. And so if I were to say, I'm only going to look at email every 2 hours, I would miss things that I need to weigh in on. I would not edit things that I'm supposed to look at. I worry that if you just sort of say unilaterally, this is what I'm going to do, it may not fit with the organization itself. How do you balance those two?
You absolutely have to make sure that whatever parameters you're setting fit into the organizational culture. If you are a newsroom journalist that is dealing with breaking news, then you do need to be checking email all the time. That's essentially a job requirement for that. You have to exercise judgment based on what's appropriate in your own context. But I think for a lot of people, there's more leeway than they might expect. If you are a journalist working in feature stories that have a longer lead time, it's really not the end of the world if you answer somebody's email at noon instead of at 10 a.m. And I think most of us don't understand the power that we have to be able to set boundaries.
Talk to me about this power thing you're just talking about there.
I think that we don't really recognize that we have agency. If you are nice about it, and if you are expressing a clear, good reason for why you're trying something different, generally people will be far more understanding than you might imagine.
What's the end goal out of all this? What are you trying to accomplish if you are successful in finding ways to limit your time being wasted?
There are a lot of reasons why we need to protect our time and stop it from being wasted. A big one is our overall life satisfaction and work-life balance. If people are consistently wasting your time during the workday, that work still needs to get done. Also, it's about optimizing the bottom line for our companies. Presumably, if we want to do our jobs well, we want to be able to do it in the least amount of time. We want our clients to be happy and feel like they're being well served. This is a good way of doing it. And it's great for talent retention.
Are we really that busy, or do we just like to say that we are, or do we just find our days filled with trivial things and we really aren't as busy as we think we are?
There is a certain amount of exaggeration that comes with the modern ethos of, oh, I'm so busy. There's a book by the author Laura Vanderkam called 168 Hours, which is the number of hours that we have in a week. And she's discovered, based on extensive surveys that she's done, that a lot of people really inflate the amount of time that they spend at work. It is a little bit of a bragging arms race. That being said, we are genuinely busy. I think for most of us, when there's a challenge where we are wasting our own time in some ways because we're not working at the most productive task. And if you combine that with other people who come in with their own agenda wanting to chit-chat, then it becomes really difficult to accomplish what matters most.
If you could give one piece of advice to somebody who's trying to manage their time better so people don't waste it, what would that be?
If you're trying to manage your time well, the most important thing to remember is that it's about prioritization. Sometimes people really are wasting your time, and you need to limit that sharply. But the flip side of that, and the reason that we do that, is that other things really are important. Sometimes you might have a dear friend that's just had a terrible breakup or some loss that wants to talk to you. You might have a colleague who has a brilliant breakthrough idea that they want to share and get your feedback on. You might have an amazing opportunity to meet with someone you've always wanted to meet with. And you can't do those things if you've been spending all of your time, which is a limited resource, on trivialities. So the reason we limit the trivial stuff is to make room for what's really important and most meaningful in our lives.
Dory, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Dory Clark is a business professor at Duke University and the author of Reinventing You, Define Your Brand, Imagine Your Future. We'd all like to get more done at the office, but when efficiency and productivity feel elusive, some of Clark's advice might really help. Remember that even if you don't have complete control over your day, you probably have more power than you think. You just need to make some rules, like when you respond to email or preparing an agenda for every meeting so you can keep people on track. What you want to do is stop equating being busy with being successful. Because remember, it's not about blocking people out or being hard to reach, but about what you and your coworkers are all trying to accomplish.
What you want to do is appeal to the higher common good. It is about the good of the organization for every member to be as productive as possible.
If you found a way to get more done at the office without shutting out your colleagues, let us know. Send an email to moneytalking@wnyc.org. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.